So in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, it is described that in the first chapter only, 10th canto, the background behind the advent of Krishna is very nicely, elaborately discussed by Sukadeva Goswami. And in the third chapter, Krishna actually appears. So Krishna made his appearance into this world for various reasons. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyudhanam adharmasya tadatmanam srijamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinayasaya cha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge vige. So dharma samsthapan, then to protect devotees and to annihilate the miscreants, right? And Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami says prema rasa asvadan ragamarga bhakti pracharan. These are the reasons for Krishna's appearance. Prema rasa asvadan means to have loving exchanges, right, between himself and his devotees. He wants to taste them. That's why he appears. Then ragamarga bhakti pracharan, to, you know, propagate the glories of devotional service, right? So Krishna made his enchanting appearance, right, 5000 years back. Then he performed such enthralling pastimes, right? Yanmartya lelo paikam svayoga maya balam darshayata grihitam vismapanam smasyaca sobhagarde param padam bhushana bhushanangam. So Krishna's pastimes are so attractive that even all his incarnations get attracted, not only his devotees, even he himself gets attracted. Then even Mahavishnu gets attracted, right? Vismapanam svasyacha sobhagarde param padam bhushana bhushanangam. He is the ornament of all ornaments. So Krishna performed such enthralling pastimes and he gave such enlightening teachings, right? Sarvadharman parityajya mamekam saranam vraja. So all these teachings are there in Bhagavatam. There is also part of Krishna's pastimes here, activities in this world. And after this enlightening teachings, we have this enigmatic disappearance of Krishna. So the way this Maushala Leela happened, the way Yadus fought amongst themselves, and the ghastly disappearance of Yadus, it created such enigma in all the readers of the scriptures. And this Jara, he throws an arrow on Krishna. So all these details are discussed in the 11th canto. We need Acharya's explanations to understand all of them in the right spirit. So he made such enigmatic disappearance, right? So Krishna swadhama upagate dharma gnanadi visaha kalau nashta drsam esa puranar kodhunoditaha. So Krishna, accompanied with dharma gnana etc., he went back to his abode. So he appeared, did some activities, and then disappeared. Now after Krishna disappeared, then where did dharma take shelter, right? Then comes the ecstatic appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam, right? With the main intention of re-establishing dharma. So Krishna reappeared in the form of a book, right? Srimad Bhagavatam, so that dharma can have some shelter. So where did dharma take shelter? In Srimad Bhagavatam. So when Krishna appears in aquatics, he is called Matsya. When Krishna appears in amongst the demigods, he is Vamana, right? Upendra. When Krishna appears as an animal, he is Varaha. When Krishna appears as a best human being, he is Krishna, right? Swayam Bhagavan. When Krishna appears as a bird, he is Hamsa. And when Krishna appears as a book, he is Srimad Bhagavatam. This is called Granthavatar, right? So why Krishna had to appear in the form of a book? So Bhagavatam is another form of Krishna. It's none other than Krishna. Krishna in the form of a book. And this particular incarnation of Krishna, this Granthavatar Bhagavatam, is very special in the sense that it is a combination of all other incarnations. Right? So Matsyavatar, when he comes, he performs his Matsya activities and then goes. Right? Then whatever, Vamanavatar, he performs his Vamanavatar, Vaman activities and he goes. Then when Krishna appears in the form of a book, Bhagavatam, it is a combination of all these incarnations, because the activities of all these incarnations are available in one book only. This one incarnation is like sum of all the other incarnations. Like that. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says in this Sararta Darshini commentary that so all the scriptures are there, they have such brilliant meanings. Right? They have wonderful descriptions and explanations and insights given in the scriptures. So all these meanings are hidden. So all the meanings of the scriptures are supposed to be giving satisfaction to the reader, to the humanity. Right? So if you compare the satisfaction of heart that a reader gets from reading a scripture to a treasure, that satisfaction is the treasure. And all the meanings of the scriptures which are meant to give that satisfaction and protect that satisfaction are like watchmen, night watchmen. The meanings of the scriptures are night watchmen, and the treasure is satisfaction of heart. But as the time progressed, this meanings have fallen, right? They have become lazy because of time and because of laziness and because of other priorities. Yogo nashta parantapa. The real meanings of the scriptures have been lost. Right? So at that time, thieves will give misinterpretation to those scriptures. Right? And the real satisfaction of the heart is stolen away. Right? When the watchman is sleeping, what will happen to the treasure? Thief will take it away. Right? Similarly, when the meanings of the scriptures are not revealed to the humanity, misinterpreters will come and give wrong meanings. What is the result of that? The satisfaction of the heart of the reader is not fulfilled. Right? Scriptures are meant to give us that satisfaction. So the time is the thief and all this. So at that time, Krishna descends. Right? Krishna descends as an incarnation and then restores dharma to give satisfaction to dharmic people. Right? So Bhagavatam, Krishna descended as Srimad Bhagavatam to give the right conclusions of the Vedic scriptures. Right? It is the essence of our Vedic literature. So now you see there are so many stones here. Right? They are colorful stones of different shapes. So when Brahmaji was doing his creation, like Visarga, right? So from his four mouths, he emanated this four Vedas. Right? So all Vedas, Vedic mantras and all those things came from his four mouths and then became a pile. For example, you go to sabji market and then buy brinjal, buy tomato, buy bhindi and then buy doodi. All of them are in one sack. They are like, in one pile. So if the cook has to make, say, doodi sabji, he has to separate out that doodi from this tomato, brinjal and bhindi, etc. Right? So when Brahmaji spoke, the four Vedas, they are like a pile of jewels. All these Vedic statements are like jewels. So all of them are like a pile of colorful stones. So what Vyasadeva did was, he divided them into four. He made doodi separate. He made sabji bhindi separate. Then he made brinjal separate, he made tomato separate, like that. Something like that. So he made these four Vedas separate. Out of compassion for the people. Because people cannot figure out, when everything is mixed up, they cannot understand what is what. That clarity is not there in people. So Lord incarnated as literary incarnation of Vyasadeva, and then he separated it into four Vedas. Right? And Vyasadeva wrote 18 Puranas. Right? Some of these Puranas are in mode of goodness, some are in passion, some are in ignorance. Right? So Bhagavatam is a part of mode of goodness Purana when Vyasadeva wrote it. So Vyasadeva wrote this so many Puranas and so many Upanishads, and he divided the one Veda into four, and he employed different professors. Right? Amongst his disciples, he told his disciples, you become in charge of this Veda, you become in charge of this Veda. Right, and they divided that Veda into different sections and then found professors under them. So under Samaveda there are different people. All this will be discussed in the fourth chapter of first canto, and in the 12th canto also they are described, the actual bifurcation of who became in charge of which section of Veda. So in spite of doing all this, Vyasadeva was not satisfied. So instead of writing all these Puranas, all these Upanishads and all these scriptures, and he wrote Mahabharata also, right, for people who are not that intellectual to understand things. So he wrote Mahabharata also. Still he was not satisfied at heart. He was despondent. Then his guru, Narada Muni, came. He explained the reason for Vyasadeva's despondency. So when Vyasadeva was feeling dissatisfaction and he contemplated, what could be the reason for my dissatisfaction? Then he also came to a certain conclusion that probably I have not glorified the Supreme Lord sufficiently, that's why I am dissatisfied. So when someone sincerely contemplates, Paramatma gives him the understanding what went wrong. So now Narada Muni also came and then said, Jugupsitam, what you have done is abominable. You have given so much of emphasis to four Purusharthas and you have not sufficiently glorified Srimad Bhagavatam, glorified Bhagavan, right? Bhakti, Bhagavan, Bhakta, Bhagavatam. So all these are the main things which are supposed to be highlighted in your scripture, right? But you have not given any emphasis. On top of it, you have given overemphasis to four Purusharthas, right? People are already addicted to sense gratification and inclined to do sense gratification. And if you also write something in relation to that, in connection to that, they will take it as a license and do it more. So you must glorify the process of devotional service. You must glorify Bhagavan, right? You must glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And you must have given emphasis to these eternal things, not some substandard things, substandard religious practices. Then Vyasadeva compiled Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is not the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is eternal Shruti scripture. Right? So what is heard? So Srimad Bhagavatam is not a part of Smriti literature only, which is written. 5000 years back, Bhagavatam did not come into existence. Bhagavatam is an eternal scripture. It is existing since time immemorial, right? And Vyasadeva merely performed the pastime of writing, right? When someone writes, someone makes, say, a preparation, right, in the kitchen, right? For example, he makes dudhi halwa. He is not inventing it for the first time. Dudhi is existing. Sugar is existing, fire is existing, stove is existing, everything is there and he began. So something like that. So Bhagavatam is an eternal Shruti scripture and Vyasadeva merely performed the pastime of writing it, being the literary incarnation of Godhead. So Bhagavatam is eternally existent, like that. Bhagavatam is the crown jewel of all scriptures and it is the essence of all scriptures. It is the topmost Purana and it consists the essence of all other scriptures also. Like that. It is a commentary on, natural commentary on this Vedanta Sutras that Vyasadeva has compiled. That's why this prayer is given. Sarva Shastrabdhi Piyusha. Right? It is the nectar of all, nectar of the ocean of scriptures. Sarva Shastra Abdhi Piyusha. Sarva Vedaika Satphala. The mature fruit of all Vedic literatures. Sarva Siddhanta Ratnadhya. All Siddhantas are like a pile of jewels, right? It is the crown jewel of all Siddhantic conclusions, the conclusive truths, like that. Sarva Lokaika Dhrprada, right? It shows the right vision and right path to entire humanity. Sarva Bhagavata Prana, it is the life of all Bhagavatas. Srimad Bhagavata Prabho, Kalidhvanto Ditaditya Sri Krishna Parivartita. So this Srimad Bhagavatam is Kali Dvanta Krita Dvanta Dita Aditya. Aditya is sun. This Bhagavatam is like sun that can dissipate the darkness of Kali Yuga. Dissipate the misunderstandings or wrong conclusions of Kali Yuga. Sri Krishna Parivartita. What is Bhagavatam in one line if you have to say? It is Sri Krishna Parivartita. Krishna has come back in the form of Bhagavatam. Krishna returned to us in the form of Bhagavatam. That is Bhagavatam. So it is out of Krishna's mercy. He came, he performed some pastimes at the end of Dwapara Yuga and then he went back and he felt that, oh, Kali Yuga people are coming. How do I give my association to them? How do I give my mercy to them? Let me come in the form of a book. So he came as Srimad Bhagavatam and then enlightened people. This is Sri Krishna Parivartita. So in the preface of Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada says, human society at the present moment is not in the darkness of oblivion. It has made rapid progress in the field of material comforts, education and economic development throughout the entire world. But there is a pinprick somewhere in the social body at large. And therefore, there are large-scale quarrels even over less important issues. There is a need of a clue as to how humanity can come to peace. Right? And Bhagavatam fulfills that need for the cultural presentation, for the re-spiritualization of entire human society. Bhagavatam fulfills the need of peace in the humanity by re-spiritualizing the humanity. Like that. So that is where the need for Bhagavatam arises. Right? It is Sri Krishna Parivartita. It is a substitute for Krishna. Or it is Krishna for all the humanity. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu glorifies the Srimad Bhagavatam as the ultimate pramana, and the conclusive opinions of Lord Chaitanya are given in this verse. You can also say after me. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam. Ramya kachidupasana vrajavadhu vargena va kalpita. Srimad Bhagavatam pramanam amalam prema pumarto mahan. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhor matamidam tatradara napara. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu holds these five things as the ultimate, as the main things. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajesha Tanaya. The supreme worshipable deity, Aradhya, is Vrajesha Tanaya Krishna. Krishna in Vrindavan. He is the supreme worshipable deity. Taddhama Vrindavanam. The highest supreme abode is Vrindavan. Right? Then, Ramya Kachid Upasana Vrajavadhur Vargena Vakalpita. The greatest form of worship, upasana, that is done towards this supreme aradhya, is that which is done by all the gopis. Vrajavadhur, the way Vrajavadhus have performed devotional service, is the ultimate process of worship. The ultimate aspiration of a Gaudiya Vaishnava is to follow in the footsteps of the gopis. We may not be at that level, but that is where he is aspiring for. The ultimate process or the topmost process of worship is done by all the Vrajagopis. Then, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Avalam. The topmost pramana or authority, the spotless authority is Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Then, Prema Pumartho Mahan. The purpose of this human life, the goal of life, is to develop pure love of Godhead. So, these are the five conclusive opinions of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And we see interestingly, the other four things, Aradhya, Dhamma, Upasana and Artha, all these four are described in this Puranam, Bhagavatam. These five are the topmost things. So out of this one, Srimad Bhagavatam contains the description of all other four. In fact, all other five. Bhagavatam itself has the glorification of Bhagavatam also. Right? So Bhagavatam, one book, consists of description about the supreme Aradhya Krishna, the Tattva of Krishna, and it describes Vrindavan Dham for 37 chapters. It is mentioned there in the 10th canto. Then Upasana, the way Vraja Gopis have dedicated themselves to Krishna, that is also described in Bhagavatam. Right? And Prema, Pumartho Mahan, the highest, topmost goal of life, that is also discussed in Bhagavatam. Right? So Bhagavatam itself contains glories of Bhagavatam also. So that is the glory of Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna. Just like we do deity worship, right? So that person, the deity who is standing there is non-different from Krishna. Similarly, the book which is here, Srimad Bhagavatam, that is also non-different from Krishna. And how do we worship the deity? We first offer whatever deepa to the lotus feet and slowly we go to the lotus face. Right? Similarly, Bhagavatam also meant to be studied from first canto, first chapter, first verse to last canto, last chapter, last verse. It's like one has to progressively go through Bhagavatam, not jump from here and there. That Prabhupada clarifies right in the beginning of his purport only. First chapter only he mentions that. Right? And how Bhagavatam is the body of Krishna, how Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna is described in this Padma Purana verse. Padau yadiyau prathama dvitiyau tritiyaturyau katithau yaduru nabhistatha panchama eva shashto bhujantaram dor yugalam tathanyau kanthastu rajan namavo yadiyau Mukharavindam dashamah prafullam Ekadasho yasya lalata pattam Shiropitudvadasa eva bhati. These are the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. Padau yadiyau prathamadvitiyu. The prathama and dvitiya skanda, the first and second cantos of Bhagavatam are the lotus feet of Krishna. Right? Triyau turyau kathitau yadoru. The third and fourth cantos are his urus, are his thighs. And the fifth canto is his navel. Then sixth canto is his chest. Then seventh and eighth canto are like arms. Right? Bhujantaram dor yugalam tathanyo. Right? Kanthastu rajan navamo yadiyo. His kantha, his throat, is the ninth canto. The tenth canto is his lotus face. Then 11th canto is his forehead. 12th canto is his head. So like that, Bhagavatam is nothing but personification of Krishna. Right? What are we supposed to do? Tamadi devam karuna nidhanam tamalavarnam suhitavataram apara samsara samudra setum bhajamahe bhagavatasvarupam. So Tam Adi Devam Karuna Nidhanam. That original Supreme Personality of Godhead is Karuna Nidhanam, an ocean of mercy. Right? Tamala Varanam Suhita Avataram. Tamala Varanam, his complexion is blue, and Suhita Avataram. His incarnation is meant for causing welfare of everyone. Suhita. Right? Then Apara Samsara Samudra Setum. Setu means bridge. Right? He is the one who is making the bridge to cross this material existence. Apara samsara samudra setum bhajamahe bhagavata swarupam. I worship that Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, who is non-different from Bhagavatam. Bhagavata swarupam. Bhagavatam is the swarupa of Krishna. Like that. Krishna is the personification of Bhagavatam. Like that. Both are non-different. Right? So, in that mood, one has to approach this book. This book is not any ordinary book. Right? You cannot compare with this book with physics or chemistry and any other material education books. Right? Because this book reciprocates with the person who is reading. It can reveal different meanings to different readers. Right? The same book, same chapter or same purport, if someone reads, he has different understanding only at a different level. But when a new person reads, he has a different level, different understanding. Like that. So, there are 10 subjects in Srimad Bhagavatam. Atra sargo visargascha sthanam poshanam utayah manvantaresha nukatha nirodho muktirashraya. So there are 10 subject matters in Srimad Bhagavatam. Any Purana has 5 subject matters. Any Mahapurana has 10 subject matters. So Bhagavatam is a Mahapurana. So the first two cantos constitute a prelude. Right? Prelude to Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, according to Jiva Goswami, all these 10 subjects are present in all the 12 cantos of Bhagavatam. Right? One should not attempt to assign one canto to one topic. Right? That is not very much appropriate. Because all subjects are described in all cantos of Bhagavatam. However, one subject matter is predominantly emphasized in a canto. Right? So the first two cantos are majorly acting like a prelude, right? We will discuss more on this in the afternoon class when we discuss the full overview of six cantos. So that is like introduction, but it consists of at least sarga, visarga and poshana. Then third and fourth cantos consist of a description of sarga and visarga. Then fifth, sthana. Then sixth, predominant topic which is discussed is poshana. In spite of his devotees committing some mistakes, still Lord forgives them and protects them. That protection aspect is described in the sixth canto. Right, sthana is the geography of the universe. Right, the geographical location of various planets and planetary systems is mentioned in the fifth canto. Right, then sarga and visarga are Lord's creation and sub-creation which is done by Brahma and his sons. They are mentioned in third canto, fourth canto, and fifth canto also first half is visarga only. The fifth canto second half, from 16th chapter onwards, this sthanam description begins. Then seventh canto consists of the description of uti. Uti means inclination. There is auspicious inclination which is coming from the heart of devotees. There is inauspicious inclination that is coming from demoniac people like Hiranyakashipu. Right? Devotees, Prahlad Maharaj. All these inclinations are described in the seventh canto. Then eighth canto is Manvantara. Right? In a day of Brahma, there are 14 Manvantaras. So the 14 Manvantaras of this day of Brahma are described in the eighth canto. The ninth canto is Ishanukatha. The topics related to the Lord and his devotees are described in the ninth canto. The tenth canto, which is like lotus face of the Lord, is the Ashraya. Right? Ashraya means shelter. This tenth canto is the Ashraya, the shelter of all other nine topics or other cantos. Right? Out of the ten topics, Ashraya Tattva is the shelter of other remaining nine topics. Like that. The 11th canto, Mukti, liberation, Uddhava Gita is given. The 12th canto is Nirodha. Four kinds of Nirodha, inhalation are described. So this is like a very brief outline of entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So, Vyasadev compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is non-different from Krishna, and it is the natural commentary on the Brahma Sutra. Right? Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Sammitam Uttama Shloka Charitam Chakara Bhagavan Rishihi Nishreyasaya Lokaya Nukasya Dhanyam Swastyayanam Mahat. So this Bhagavatam is Uttama Shloka Charitam. It is nothing but the history or the story of the Lord who is glorified in the choicest poetry. Uttama Shloka Charitam. Then Chakara Bhagavan Rishihi, directly Supreme Personality of Godhead, literary incarnation. Vyasadeva has written it. And Nishreyasaya Lokasya. Right? For the ultimate welfare of all these humanity, Vyasadeva has compiled it. Dhanyam, it's all successful. Swastyayanam, it's all blissful. Mahat, it's all perfect. Right? There is nothing lacking in Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all perfect scriptures. And for what reason he has compiled? Anarthopashamam Sakshad Bhakti Yoga Madhokshaje Lokasya Janato Vidvams Chakre Satvata Samhitam. So Anartha Upashamam Sakshat Bhakti Yoga Madhokshaje. Anartha means unwanted thing. So Upashamam means mitigation or pacification. So how can the miseries be extinguished? How can unwanted things be vanquished? That is by Bhakti Yoga. Bhakti Yoga Madhokshaje. By performing Bhakti Yoga, devotional service to Lord Adhokshaja, whatever is unwanted is removed. Right? So Lokasya Ajanato Vidvams. Lokasya Ajanato people. People in general, they are not aware of this fact. Oh, by performing devotional service, can we remove all unwanted things in our life? They are not aware of this. That is why he wrote Chakre Satvata Samhitam. That's why our Vyasadeva has compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam. To glorify the process of bhakti. Right? Here is the solution to all your problems. Bhakti. That is described in Bhagavatam. Right? What bhakti connects a bhakta with Bhagavan. So the description of Bhakta, Bhagavan and Bhakti is there in Bhagavatam. Right? That is the purpose. So, Bhagavatam begins with this verse we just recited. Janmadyasya yatonvayaditaratashcharteshvabhignasvarat tene brahma hridayadikavaye muhyanti yatsuraya tejo varimridam yathavi nimayo yatra trisargo mrusha dhamna svena sadanirasta kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. So tomorrow we will discuss the deeper meaning of this verse for a long time tomorrow. So this verse in gist, it says that Krishna is the absolute truth. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, the son of Vasudeva and Devaki, that is Krishna. So Krishna is the absolute truth, and the right in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is the absolute truth. That point is made clear. Right? He is the primeval cause. Janmadyasya yataha anvayad itaratasya artheshu abhignaha. He is cognizant directly and indirectly, he is cognizant of everything. Swarat, he is completely independent. And tene brahma hridaya adikavaye muhyanti yat surayaha. So he is the one who enlightened Brahmaji from within. Right? Brahma did not go to any school and study all the Vedas. Brahma got enlightenment directly from the heart, which is coming from Krishna. Then muhyanti yat surayaha, his activities, Krishna's activities are bewildering to great learned people also. Tejo vari mridam yatha vinimayo. How is it bewildering? Just like sometimes we get confused with what is why, what is air, what is fire, what is water, land. So one might get confused. One may see desert and then think that there is some water here. Right? And one may see earth. Glass is a transformation of earth. Right? When you see glass, somebody may think that this is water. Right? That kind of illusion is created. Like that, people get bewildered by seeing Krishna's activities. Right? Muhyanti yat surayaha tejo vari mridam yatha. Right? Then, yatra trisargo mrusha, then dhamna svena sadanirastha kuhakam satyam param dhimahi. So he, Lord is the factual basis of everything. Only because of him, this temporary world will seem to be real and permanent for the conditioned soul. Although Lord is staying in his eternal abode. So like that, various features of the absolute truth, the nature of the absolute truth is discussed right in the first verse of Bhagavatam. Right? Bhagavatam establishes Krishna as the supreme personality of Godhead right in the beginning. Ete chamsakala pumsa krishnastu bhagavan svayam. That also we will discuss day after tomorrow. Right? How Krishna is supreme personality of Godhead. So Bhagavatam establishes right in the beginning. And one example, all of you know about Brahma Vimohan Leela, where Krishna, you know, expands himself as all the boys and calves, then Brahma sees he gets bewildered, then all these boys and calves will get transformed into this Chaturbhuja Vishnus, right? And all of them will merge into Krishna. And Krishna also exhibits all his opulences, right? Personified opulences and Shaktis are worshipping Krishna. Then Brahmaji comes and says, my Lord, have you not shown me your entire opulence and expansions now? And after retracting all of them, have you not shown me your original form as Supreme Lord? What does that mean? Krishna's form as Gopal, cowherd boy in Vrindavan, is the original form of the absolute truth. Right? He is the ultimate manifestation of the absolute truth. Right? That is the topmost form of the absolute truth. Krishna's form as the absolute, as the cowherd boy in Vrindavan. So that is established in Bhagavatam. So Krishna is Bhagavan. Somebody may get confused. Krishna has only two hands. Narayana has four hands. He is God. Krishna is an incarnation only. Right? All those confusions are cleared from Bhagavatam. From the pastimes of Bhagavatam and from the descriptions of Bhagavatam. Now so many Vishnus are coming from Krishna and all of them are going into Krishna. Who is the source? So Krishna is the source. Vishnus are emanating from Krishna. But people think that Vishnu is the source, Krishna is just an incarnation. Like that. And Bhagavatam presents this whole thing in a very intelligent way that people don't get misguided. Bhagavatam first gives Srishti Leela before Ras Leela. Right? Although that is like considered the smile of Krishna and then the key things, key element of Bhagavatam, right? Bhagavatam directly doesn't speak about the leelas between Krishna and gopis, right? It starts sarga, visarga, sthanam, poshanam. Till 9th canto, you understand the greatness of Krishna. After establishing greatness of Krishna sufficiently, then Bhagavatam reveals the sweetness of Krishna in the 10th canto. Right? So, there is enough scope not to become a sahajiya. Right? So, Bhagavatam takes care of, Bhagavatam is very intelligent way of presenting the description of absolute truth. First greatness, then sweetness. Like that. And Bhagavatam establishes that Lord is a person. Right? He has a form. By giving such authentic descriptions of Krishna's forms, right? Now Krishna is going into the forests of Vrindavan, right, to herd the cows and calves. So when he is going inside, this beautiful description comes. Barha pedam natavaravapu karnayor karnikaram bibhradvasa kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam. So like that, every limb of Krishna is very nicely, beautifully described by Sukadeva Goswami, right? So the description of the form is, when it is given, you cannot, it's very authentically given repeatedly within this one scripture. There is no scope of thinking that God is not a person. There is no scope that of thinking that God doesn't have a form. Form is described so elaborately, all the finer nuances, right? Brahmaji offers his first prayer. Nau medyate abra vapushe taditambaraya gunjavatamsa paripichalasan mukhaya Vanyasraje Kavalavetra Vishana Venu Lakshmasriye Mrudupade Prasupangajaya. Right? Nobi idyate. I worship you, your lotus feet, my dear Lord. Right? Nomi idyate abravapushe. Like a monsoon cloud, your bodily complexion is dark. Taditambaraya, your cloth is shining like lightning. Right? Gunjavatamsa, you wear Gunjamala. Gunjavatamsa paripichalasan mukhaya, your face is resplendent with peacock feather. Right, Vanyasraje, he wears this forest flower garlands. Right, Vanyasraje, Kavala, Vetra, he is holding curd rice in his hand. Vetra, a stick to control cows and calves. Kavala, Vetra, Vishana, Venu, and you are playing flute. Right, Vishana, Venu, Lakshmasriye, Mrudupade, Pasupangajaya. This beautiful form of the Lord is the personification of all opulences. All opulences are hidden in this form only. Lakshmasriye, then Mrudupade, and Krishna is walking with his soft, tender lotus feet on the land of Vrindavan without chappal. Right? In Vaikuntha, Krishna wears, Narayana wears chappal, but in Vrindavan, Krishna doesn't wear chappal. Right? He is directly touching the land, holy land of Vrindavan with his lotus feet. Right? That's why Vrindavan is the topmost abode. Vrindavanam sakibhuvo vitanoti kirtim yad devaki suta padambuja labdha lakshmihi. Vrindavan has the wealth of what? Krishna's footprints. No other place in the entire cosmic manifestation has the footprints of Krishna. He always wears chappal. Right? But in Vrindavan, no chappal. Right? Directly, all the footprints of Krishna are imprinted on the land of Vrindavan. Mrudupade. That's why Vrindavan is topmost. Pashupa Angajaya means he is the Pashupa Angaja. He is the son of cowherd man, Nanda Maharaj. That establishes Nanda Maharaj's position superior to Vasudeva's position. And Krishna's cowherd boy form superior to Krishna's other forms. Right? And Krishna's Vanyasraja superior to Parijata flower garlands available in heaven also. Krishna's Gunjamala superior to Kaustubhumuni, which is wear by Narayana and Vaikuntha also. Right? So this form of cowherd boy of Vrindavan is the topmost manifestation of the absolute truth that is established by Brahmaji, topmost personality within this universe. What other proof you want? Right? All these proofs are there within Bhagavatam. Right? Krishna is a person. Krishna has a form. Krishna's cowherd boy form is the topmost. Right? And in various other contexts also we have the descriptions of Krishna's form. So that is how Bhagavatam begins, establishing Krishna as the absolute truth. And in the middle, right, from first canto till the last canto, in the middle there are so many authentic descriptions of Krishna. His pastimes and his activities and his tattva and his forms are described. And at the end, this beautiful verse comes in the 12th canto. Kasmayena vibhasitoya matulo jnana pradipa puram.
Kasmayena vibhasitoya matulo jnana pradipa puram.
తద్రూపేణ చ నారదాయ మునయే కృష్ణాయ తద్రూపిణ. యోగీంద్రాయ తదాత్మనాథ భగవద్రాతాయ కారుణ్యత తచ్చుద్ధం విమలం విశోకమమృతం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. So this comes at the end of Bhagavatam, 12th canto, last chapter, one of the last verses. After this maybe only 2-3 verses are there. So Bhagavatam began with Satyam Param Dhimahi and it's ending with Satyam Param Dhimahi. Kasmai yena vibhasitoyam atulo jnana pradipah pura. So that same Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, right? Vibhasitoyam atulo jnana pradipah pura, right in the beginning, pura, in the beginning of creation. So he manifested the knowledge, right, in the heart of Brahma, right? Tadrupena. In the form of Brahma, Naradaya Munaye. In the form of Brahma, he gave that knowledge to Narada Muni. Right? Munaye Krishnaya Tadrupina. Krishnaya means he Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasa. In the form of Narada Muni, he gave that knowledge to Vyasadev. Tadrupina, in the form of Krishna Dvaipayan Vyasa, Yogindraya, Tadatmanatha, the son, Vyasadev's son, Sukadeva Goswami received that knowledge from Vyasadev. Right? In the form of Vyasadev, Krishna gave that knowledge to Sukadeva Goswami. Right? Then Bhagavad Rataya Karunyatas, out of compassion, in the form of Sukadeva Goswami, Krishna gave that knowledge to Parikshit Maharaj. Right? Tat Shuddham, very pure. Vimalam, absolutely no contamination, free from all contamination. Vishokam, no lamentation. Amritam, very nectarian. Satyam Param Dhimahi. So I worship on that, I meditate on that absolute truth, Krishna, who in the form of so many acharyas in the parampara, he gives that knowledge through this parampara. Right? So whether Krishna speaks or Brahmaji speaks or Narada speaks or Vyasadeva speaks or Sukadeva Goswami speaks or Suta Goswami speaks, it's all parampara. Krishna is only speaking through them. When a bona fide Bhagavatam speaker in the parampara speaks, we should understand that Krishna is speaking through this personality. Like that. That is, kasmayena vibhasitoyam atulo jnana pradipah pura. This verse is quoted several times. So in the beginning, there is satyam param dhimahi, a meditation on the absolute truth, Krishna. And throughout Bhagavatam, that Krishna is described in various ways. And at the end of Bhagavatam, it is described that, oh, so many speakers came and described the absolute truth in various ways with so many examples and case studies. That is described by Krishna only. Krishna only spoke through all of them. So many speakers come within Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is full of conversations. In conversation, the speaker is speaking and a listener is listening. Right? Basically, Krishna is only speaking through all the speakers. This verse confirms right in the end. Like that. That is why we need to understand the knowledge of Krishna, science of Krishna through parampara. So on this Bhagavatam, several Vaishnava Acharyas have given beautiful commentaries. Right? There is Bhavartha Deepika by Sridhar Swami, Vaishnava Toshini by Sanatana Goswami, then Rupa Goswami, Jiva Goswami, wrote Sandarbhas, right, Kaviraj Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and so many acharyas have explained Bhagavatam in various ways for our understanding and for the assistance of all the Kali Yuga readers. Right? So one has to take shelter of that. Now within Bhagavatam there is a lot of description of parampara. So Krishna spoke to Uddhava, that is also Bhagavatam. Krishna spoke as Kapila to Devahuti, that is also Bhagavatam. And Krishna spoke to Brahmaji, Brahma spoke to Narada, Narada spoke to Vyasa, Vyasa spoke to Sukadeva Goswami, Sukadeva Goswami spoke to Suta Goswami, Suta Goswami spoke to Savanakada Rishis, that is one parampara line. Right? And Narada Muni also spoke to different personalities like Dhruva, Prachetas, Prahlad Maharaj, and so many other people. Prachetas, Prachena Barhini. Then Krishna as Sankarsana spoke to Lord Shiva, and Shiva spoke to Prachetas. Krishna as Sankarsana spoke to Sankhyayana Muni, Sanat Kumar, and all those people. That is another parampara, Kumara parampara. And Krishna as Rishabhadev spoke to his sons. Right? So like that, Bharat Maharaj spoke to Jadabharat. As Jadabharat, Bharat Maharaj spoke to Rahugana. So like that, there are so many conversations, there are so many parampara lines. The knowledge is coming from Krishna, So that is transmitted through a chain of disciplic succession, right, by several devotees. So without parampara, we cannot understand anything, right? So it has to be brought down to us. The knowledge has to be brought down to us through the medium of parampara. That's why we, for example, one goes to Ganga to worship Ganga. What can one offer to Ganga, right? Take a handful of water of Ganga, right? Put it back. That is considered worship of Ganga. Similarly, for all the wonderful contribution that the acharyas have made for our understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam, we cannot repay them. Yairidrishi Bhagavato Gatiratmavada Ekantato Nigamabhi Pratipaditana Tushyantvadabhrakarunasvakrutena Nityam Ko nama tat pratikaroti vinoda patram. So if one tries to repay the debt of acharyas, oh, this acharya has given me this description of Bhagavatam, let me repay him by doing this. Right? One cannot do it. One can do it only with cupped hands filled with water. Okay. Take, offering Ganga water back to Ganga. If he thinks that I can do, he is vinoda patram. His activities cause laughter, joker. He's like a joker. So tushyanti adabhra karuna svakrutena nityam. By their own activities of causeless mercy, they are satisfied. Tushyanti adabhra karuna, causeless mercy. Right? Svakrutena nityam. They have done the activities of welfare work to all the people. They are satisfied by that. Their satisfaction is in reuniting the conditioned soul with Krishna. They are satisfied like that. Now, more than the scholarship of acharyas, more than the eloquence and poetry abilities and intelligence of acharyas, what impresses us, at least what inspired me the most, is their mood of humility. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur wrote such brilliant commentary of Sarartha Darshini and Srimad Bhagavatam. If you read Sarartha Darshini, right, so many connections between verses and sections of Bhagavatam and then flow, that becomes very clear. That's like one of the most authentic commentary on Bhagavatam. Prabhupada often refers to Chakravarti Thakur. So all the connections, most of the connections that you see in Bhagavat Subhadni also taken from Sarartha Darshini only. See what the mood of Chakravarti Path is. Chakravarti Path studied Srimad Bhagavatam under the guidance of a guru for a long time. Sridhar Swami's commentary he studied Vaishnava Toshini by Sanatan Goswami, he studied Sandarbhas of Jiva Goswami, right? He got the mercy of Sridhar Swami, his commentary also he studied for a long time. So after all that, after assimilating all of that and understanding all of that, unable to control his eagerness to glorify Srimad Bhagavatam, he wrote Sarartha Darshini commentary. And see what he says. He says, I am very rash in this attempt of writing a commentary on Bhagavatam. Right? If I am doing out of my foolishness, that will only produce mockery. But if I am doing this activity of writing commentary by the causeless mercy of the Lord, it will produce bliss with every word in all the readers. In that mood they are writing. So he wrote Bhagavatam commentary just to glorify Bhagavatam and thinking that I am totally incapable of understanding this Bhagavatam or writing commentary on this Bhagavatam. And in every canto towards the end, last purport also he writes. Right in the beginning of the canto or ending of the canto, he reveals his humble mood. And even Prabhupada also, there is no doubt about the authority of Bhagavatam. Within the past 500 years, many erudite scholars like Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, Vallabhacharya, they have made beautiful commentaries. Right? A serious student would do well to attempt to go through them to better relish the transcendental messages. Now, Prabhupada is giving his commentary on Bhagavatam, his own purports, and he wrote in English. And he's also directing us to our previous acharyas. Right? You can also study the commentaries of previous acharyas also. Any author, right, either he would glorify himself or at least he will not, you know, recommend the readers to go to some other commentary and then read it. Right? All the acharyas are doing that only. So out of my desire to glorify Bhagavatam, I am writing this commentary. But so and so Acharya has already written it. So you can go and read that also. Right? So the Prabhupada also recommends that we go through those things also. And Prabhupada attributes the entire credit of his preaching and his establishing of International Society for Krishna Consciousness, or publishing so many books, to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He says, it is to be admitted that whatever translation work I have done is through the inspiration of a spiritual master. Personally, I am most insignificant and incompetent to do this materially impossible work. By saying materially impossible work, what it means is, it is done by the grace of Krishna. It has the approval of Krishna. And Prabhupada is attributing that success to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his guru. I do not think myself a very learned scholar, but I have full faith in the service of my spiritual master. Right? If there is any credit to my activities of translating, it is all due to his divine grace. It is all due to my guru. So Prabhupada gave credit. And he also gave credit to his disciples. I have to thank my American disciples, Pradyumna Das Adhikari, then Sriman Nitai Das Adhikari, like that, who edited and then helped me in this publishing of Bhagavatam. So there is lot of contribution from these acharyas, and they are giving credit to other devotees. They are not taking any credit for themselves. And that mood of humility, right, and in spite of having so much of scholarship, that inspires the reader the most. Right? That is one of the most important elements that we need to observe in all the, apart from learning the flow or the structure or the scholarly aspect or the philosophical aspect of Srimad Bhagavatam, we should also identify the mood of acharyas who are giving us this Bhagavatam. Like that. So that is about the first verse and one of the last verses. Now, again, in the beginning we have another verse. Dharma projita kaitavotra paramo nirmatsaranam satam. Vedyam vastavamatra vastu shivadam tapatrayonmulanam. Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite Kimva Parairishvara. Sadyo Hridi Avarudhyatetra Krutibir Susrushubi Tatkshanat. Dharma Projita Kaitavo. Right, all the Kaitava Dharma, cheating religion, substandard religion of Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, right, religiosity, and even Jnana Yoga, then Ashtanga Yoga, then Karma Yoga, all these are rejected right in the beginning of Bhagavatam. Right, when we are touching Bhagavatam, we need to understand what is there in it. Right, so right in the first canto only, there are such exalted proofs. Right, like Kunti Maharani's example. Then Bhishma Dev's example, Pandava's example, they are all described. The topmost pure devotional service is right in the beginning only. Right? So one needs to understand, where am I getting into? So this is a very exalted scripture, not meant to pamper the materialistic desires of the readers. Right? Not to allure the readers with some materialistic results. Right? Dharma Projita Kaitava. Atra means here. In this book, cheating religion is rejected. Paramo, it's the supreme. It propounds the supreme truth. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. And it is understandable by nirmatsaranam, non-envious people. If one is unable to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, one needs to understand that I have to work on my envy. To the extent one is non-envious, to that extent he will be able to understand Bhagavatam. Nirmatsaranam satam vedyam. Vastavam atra vastu. So in this, vastavam vastu is described, the substance is described, not the shadows. Right? So substance is absolute truth, that is described. Vastavam atra vastu shivadam, for the auspiciousness of everyone. Tapatrayon molanam, it removes all the threefold miseries. Right? Srimad Bhagavate Mahamuni Krite. And Vyasadeva has compiled this Bhagavatam. Kimva parair, What is the use of any other scripture? Right? Ishvaraha sadyo hridi avarudhyate atra krutibhi susrushubhi takshanat. If one dedicates himself to studying this Srimad Bhagavatam and understanding this Bhagavatam in the right consciousness, then Lord will descend into his heart immediately. Sadyo hridi avarudhyate. Right? Tatkshanat. Like that. So that is how Bhagavatam is glorified in the beginning. The first verse of Bhagavatam is glorification of Absolute Truth. Second verse is glorification of Bhagavatam itself. And towards the end, this beautiful verse comes. Srimad Bhagavatam Prapuranam Amalam Yadvaishnavanam Priyam. Yasmin paramahamsyam ekam amalam jnanam param giyate. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkrutam. Tat shrunvan supathan vicharana paro bhaktya vimuchyennarah. Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. It's a spotless Purana. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. Very dear to all the Vaishnavas. The dearmost scripture of all Vaishnavas is Srimad Bhagavatam. Then, Yasmin Paramahamsyam Ekam Amalam. So only Paramahamsas can understand this. Vedyam Vat Nirmatsaranam Satam Vedyam. Like that. Then, Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate. It propounds the highest knowledge. This is somewhat similar to the beginning verse. Consistent. Right? So, tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. Avishkritam, it is launching. What? Naishkarmya. Right? Devotional service done without any expectations of fruitive results. That is right in the beginning. It is explained and it is in the concluding statements also. What is the subject matter is described there. Right? Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. So many activities one has to perform, but that has to be done without expectation of fruitive results, naishkarmyam, in the mood of bhakti, and in that mood if he does, jnana vairagya, they will all automatically come. We will discuss more in the second chapter. Tatra jnana viraga bhakti sahitam naishkarmyam avishkritam. Right, Vasudeva bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayatyasa vairagyam jnanam chedayahitukum. Like that. So tat shrunvan, one has to hear. So pathan, one has to recite. Right? Vicharana paro, one has to contemplate. Right? Bhaktya vimuchyennaraha. Right? To achieve the ultimate liberation, so one has to, with devotion, dedicate one's activities in relation to Bhagavatam. Hearing, contemplating, reciting, like that. So what is the subject matter of Bhagavatam? One more verse reveals that. Atra sankirtita saksha sarva papa bharo harihi. Narayano Hrishikeso Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi. Atra, in this literature, Bhagavatam, Sankirtataha Sakshat Sarva Papa Haro Harihi. Lord Hari is glorified. Hari is who? Sarva Papa Haro Harihi. One who steals away all one's contamination, sinful contamination. He is described. Narayano, Narayanal, one who sustains one's existence. Narayana, he is described. Hrishikesha, right, that Krishna who is the ultimate controller of all senses, right, that person is described here. Bhagavan Satvatam Patihi, one who is naturally the master of all saintly devotees, his activities are described. Bhagavatam is nothing but a description of Krishna's activities, Krishna's mercy, Krishna's dealings with his devotees, right. It's filled with Krishna, it is non-different from Krishna. That is why no one is satisfied, right, by reading Bhagavatam, right? And one is completely satisfied by reading Bhagavatam, right? So, no one is satisfied in the sense that how much ever he studies Bhagavatam, he wants to study more. One is completely satisfied in Bhagavatam in the sense that he doesn't want any other book, right? So, kastrupniyat tirthapado vidhanat chatreshu vasur bhiridyavanat. Kastrupniyat, who is that personality who is satisfied by hearing the descriptions of Krishna from Bhagavatam? No satisfaction. You hear more and you want to hear more and more and more and more. Life after life. Hanumat Prakash Maharaj was telling me, you should read Bhagavatam life after life. Right, not year after year. After the batches are coming in and going out. So year after year one may read Bhagavatam. He says, life after life you should read. There is no satisfaction. Ko nama trupyat rasavit kathaya mahattamaikanta parayanasya harer udaram charitam vishuddham. So there is no one who is completely satisfied by reading Bhagavatam. But one is completely satisfied. Right? Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. With great satisfaction they discuss about Krishna. There is satisfaction in the sense that they don't want to shift to any other subject matter. There is no satisfaction in the sense that however they discuss this subject matter, they want to discuss more and more and more like that. So this Bhagavatam, as I said in the beginning, it's a person. It's not an ordinary material book. Right? Whatever is there, one will read it and then understand it according to his intellectual capacity. So one's intellectual capacity is not sufficient to understand Bhagavatam. The mercy of Krishna should be there for one to understand Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is like lamp. At one level, Bhagavatam is like lamp. And Bhagavatam is also compared to sun. Bhagavatam is compared to fruit. Bhagavatam is compared to Mohini Murti. Right? Bhagavatam is lamp. Adhyatma Deepam Atiti Rishatam Tamondham. Because Bhagavatam destroys the nisayans by describing the absolute truth. Right? In a room which is dark, you just lit a lamp, the room is filled with light. So Bhagavatam gives a general understanding of the absolute truth and destroys the nisayans of darkness. But Bhagavatam is also compared to sun, because sun is more powerful than the lamp. So Bhagavatam destroys the misconceptions of demons and gives joy to devotees. Just like sun destroys the darkness of night and then gives joy to everybody. Right? Gives light. So Bhagavatam also destroys the misconceptions which are created by demons. Then Bhagavatam is like a mature fruit. It reveals madhura rasa. Right? Pure bhakti to pure devotees. Very exalted devotees. And Bhagavatam is like Mohini Murti. Because what did Mohini Murti do? Mohini Murti gave nectar to the demigods, and Mohini Murti has hidden the nectar from the demons. Right? So for the demons, there is no nectar. For the devotees, there is nectar. So Bhagavatam acts like Mohini Murti. One may open the book Bhagavatam and then read it. To the extent he has devotional inclination, to that extent only he will understand that Bhagavatam. If he has demoniac tendencies, he cannot understand Bhagavatam. Because Bhagavatam is a person. Right? Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavritaha. Right? Krishna is not obliged to manifest himself in front of anyone. Right? If someone says, I want to see Krishna, if he challenges, Krishna is not obliged to show himself. Krishna is not insecure. That, hurry, he is not accepting that I am there. He doesn't get agitated. Let me show him my full prowess. He doesn't need. If you don't accept, you are the loser. I am okay. Whether you accept me as Krishna or not, I am Krishna. I am Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like that. So, that personal reciprocation is given by Bhagavatam to the reader. Right? Just like Krishna deals with different people in a different way, Bhagavatam, which is non-different from Krishna, also deals with different readers in different ways. If the reader is speculating by reading Bhagavatam, then Bhagavatam gives enough scope for speculation. Right? If the reader is trying to understand things in the context of what acharyas are presenting, right, what Sukadeva Goswami is saying, Suta Goswami is saying, Bhagavatam will reveal like that. So Bhagavatam is a person. Personal reciprocation is there. Like that. So, and Bhagavatam is, for every exalted devotee, Bhagavatam can reveal madhura rasa. Right? So these are various ways in which Bhagavatam can act in the lives of the readers. And some explanation is given that first two cantos are like lamp, which give generic understanding of Bhagavatam, of Bhagavan. And 3 to 9 are like sun, that can give a little deeper understanding of the absolute truth. And 10th canto is like mature fruit, that can reveal madhura rasa, sweet rasa. Right? 11 and 12 are like Mohini Murti. In the 12th canto you see Sukadeva Goswami presents the conclusion of Bhagavatam as if it is jnana. Right? But Parikshit Maharaj did not get bewildered. All the other yogis who are not that mature in their, you know, spiritual advancement as Parikshit Maharaj, so they thought that, oh, this is the conclusion of Bhagavatam, like that. So, like that, Bhagavatam reveals itself to a deserving reader to the extent he deserves, like that. Yeah, this is mature fruit, right? The essence of the fruit, when this mango is there, that becomes very sweet when it is ripe. And when a parrot bites that mango, it is said that its taste increases more, right? So, Bhagavatam is spoken by Vyasadeva to Sukadeva Goswami. When Sukadeva Goswami recited the Bhagavatam, the taste of Bhagavatam increased a lot. So much so that Vyasadeva was sitting in the audience and then hearing that Bhagavatam. And his guru Narada Muni, who inspired Vyasadeva to write Bhagavatam, he is also sitting and hearing. As if they are hearing Bhagavatam for the first time. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami made it so sweet. Devotees love Krishna so much. Right? When a devotee describes the glories of Krishna, they appear much sweeter than the glories themselves. For example, Krishna goes and steals butter from various houses of Vrindavan. So all the gopis were thinking that, oh, Yashoda Mai is not very fortunate because she is not having the opportunity to see Krishna stealing pastimes. Because Krishna need not steal in Yashoda Mai's house, right? So let us give the pleasure of Krishna stealing pastimes to Yashoda Mai also. So all the gopis would go to Yashoda Mai and then glorify Krishna as a chor, as a thief, in the form of complaints. That is the purpose of their going towards Krishna, go towards Yashoda Mai, right? When all the gopis describe Krishna stealing pastimes, those who hear those pastimes of Krishna stealing through the mouths of gopis, they get more nourishment and more pleasure by hearing them more than their witnessing of Krishna stealing pastime. Right? Krishna stealing pastime is sweet, but when gopis describe that stealing pastime, that becomes even more sweeter. Bhagavatam itself is sweet. When Sukadeva Goswami describes, it becomes even more sweeter. Right? Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam sukamukhad amrutadrava samyutam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukah. So, it's the ripened fruit. Nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. The essence of the tree is its fruit, and when the fruit is ripened, that's even more relishable. Right? And if it falls on its own to the ground, that becomes very relishable. And this fruit of Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam, falls on its own. Right? It's not plucked by someone. It falls on its own. And how does it fall? It doesn't fall down and break. For example, we have so many mango trees in GEV. So topmost branch, which is maybe 20, 25 feet high above the ground level. From there, when the fruit falls, it generally gets damaged. But Bhagavatam, mature fruit, it doesn't fall directly from top branch to down and then get destroyed. It comes from that branch to next branch. From Krishna branch to Brahma branch. And from Brahma branch to Narada branch. Narada branch to Vyasadeva branch. Vyasa branch to Sukadeva branch. And from them it is given. Because it is traveling from branch to branch, it doesn't get destroyed. Right? It is safe. And it is all relishable. And how does it appear when it comes in the hands? You don't have to get exposed to the objectionable parts of the fruit, which is seed or the peel. It's directly juice, semi-solid juice. You can directly drink it. That is nigama kalpataror galitam phalam. Right? Sukamukhat amrutadrava samyutam. It became very nectarian when Sukadeva Goswami spoke it. Pibata bhagavatam. That's why pibata word is used. Don't eat Bhagavatam. Drink Bhagavatam. Right? You can drink. Directly you can drink. You need not have the endeavor of chewing it also. Right? Directly drink. Rasamahalayam. It is the abode of all rasas. Tomorrow we'll discuss more on this. Right? Muhuraho rasika bhavi bhavukaha. Like that. So it is coming from unbroken chain of parampara, branch to branch. So if one has to taste Srimad Bhagavatam, very important message is indicated in this description. If one has to taste Srimad Bhagavatam, he can do it not by his intellectual capacity, by taking shelter of the explanations of acharyas. Right? Because when the fruit directly falls from top branch to ground, it is broken. But when it travels from branch to branch, it is delivered safely. Similarly, this knowledge of Bhagavatam, when it comes through the line of parampara, as explained by all these acharyas, and comes to us, it is safe. Our understanding will be safe. We will relish it better, right, than directly trying to read the verse and then give a purport. I will become the 11th acharya. 10 acharyas have already given commentary. I will become 11th acharya and give my purport. So, this right in the beginning, acharyas are explaining that one has to understand this in an unbroken form, in the form of parampara. Parampara gives Bhagavatam in an unbroken form, like that. So Sukadeva Goswami spoke this. How he spoke? After personally assimilating it. Yes, sva anubhavam akhila shruti saram ekam. Sva anubhavam. He personally understood it and assimilated it. Adhyatma deepam ati tirshan tirshatam stamondham. So that all the conditioned souls can cross over this material existence very easily. Like that. Samsarinam karunaya. People who are immersed in this samsara, on them, karunaya. Very compassionately he spoke. Purana guhyam, very confidential matter. All that is confidential, he spoke it out of his compassion. That compassion attracted Suta Goswami. What is more attractive to Suta Goswami and Sukadeva Goswami was not just his scholarship and ability to present things in a different way. Definitely he got attracted by it. But he got also inspired by Sukadeva Goswami's compassion in speaking this Bhagavatam. Like that. So, tam vyasa sunam upayami gurum muninam. Tam vyasa sunam, the son of Vyasadeva, upayami gurum muninam. He is the spiritual master of all sages. Sukadeva Goswami was sitting and then explaining Bhagavatam even to his guru and paramaguru. Gurum muninam. All these munis are there, Narada Muni, Vyasa Muni. He became guru of them and then spoke to them. Like that. Out of his compassion, after his personal assimilation. And how did Suta Goswami speak this Bhagavatam? He heard from Sukadeva Goswami. Vetattam saumyatat sarvam tatvatas tadanugrahat bhuyuh snigdhasya sishyasya guravo guhyam apyuta. Because Suta Goswami was snigdha, very malleable, right? Very surrendered, very submissive disciple. And saumya, he is very pure and simple at heart. Because of these glorious qualities, he attracted the attention of all his gurus who empowered him with this knowledge. Right? In that consciousness, Suta Goswami spoke. That had an effect on Savarnikadrishis. Like that. So they say, all the Naimisharanya sages say, Tannah param punyam asamvrutartham Akhyanamatyadbhuta yoga nishtam Akyahyananta charito papannam Parikshitam bhagavatabhiramam Tannaha param, very supreme, punyam, very purifying, asamvrutartham, as it is. It was spoken as it is. Akhyanam atyadbhuta, very wonderful, speak that very wonderful literature, yoganishtam. Right, it is full of bhakti yoga. Right? Akhyani ananta charito papannam. It is constituting of ananta charita. It is constituting of the unlimited descriptions of the unlimited Lord. Lord is called ananta. Parikshitam bhagavata abhiramam. It was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj. And bhagavata abhiramam. Very dear to all the devotees. That bhagavatam spoken by Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit Maharaj, please speak, my dear Suta Goswami. This was the request of all the Savanakadi Rishis to Suta Goswami. Like that. So, that is one set of speakers. Right? Yeah, this picture is there. That shows the essence of a fruit is its juice. And the essence of a flower is its honey. Right? So, Bhagavatam is the essence. All the hearers which are mentioned in the Bhagavatam are requesting the speakers, please speak that essence. like that. So here Maitreya, we have discussed about the discussion between Suta Goswami and Savanakadri Rishis, Parikshit Maharaj, Suta Goswami, that entire parampara we have seen. Another combination of speaker and hearer, that is Maitreya Muni and Vidura. Third canto and fourth canto were conversation of Maitreya Muni and Vidura. So Vidura says, Tadasya Kaushar Avasar Madhatur Hare Kathameva Kathasusaram Udrutya Pushpebya Ivartabandho Shivayanah Kirtaya Tirtha Kirte Tadasya Kausharava Sharmadatur. Oh, Kausharava, oh Maitreya Muni, right? You are Sharmadatu, you are the bestower of auspiciousness, right? Hare Kathameva Kathasusaram. Just like juice is the essence of fruit, just like honey is the essence of a flower, similarly, out of all the topics which are available in this cosmic manifestation, Hari Katha is the essence. Speak that. Hare Kathameva Kathasusaram. How? Udrutya Pushpebya Eva Artabandho. Just like a honeybee goes to different flowers and collects honey, similarly, you speak the essence of all topics, which is like honey. You become bee and then get the essence for me. Artabandho, you are the friend of all distressed. Who is in distress? Who has no opportunity to hear Krishna Katha? Who is fortunate? Who has opportunity to hear Krishna Katha? He is requesting him. Shivayanaha, for the auspiciousness of everyone. Right? Kirtaya Tirtha Kirte. This line we will discuss later. And Bhagavatam is a combination of philosophy and pastimes. That makes it very interesting. If it is only philosophy, I mean, intelligence may not be able to accommodate so much of philosophy, and then it may get bored. If it is only pastimes without any lesson or philosophy and siddhanta there, then also it is appealing to like mind, right? But the intellectual conviction on the process may or may not come. Because many people have access to the stories of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj, and so many stories are there. But the philosophical aspect of it is mentioned in Bhagavatam. Those who do not have the access to that philosophical aspect understood their stories in their own ways. Like that. So Bhagavatam is a combination of philosophy and pastimes. Right? That makes it very authentic. Right? And Bhagavatam, how this philosophy and pastimes are presented? In the form of conversations. Conversations between personalities. Now, you see, many articles are there. If you directly make the point in the article, say BTG article or anywhere, then the reader may have certain experience. But if you present that in the form of a conversation, for example, you have to give the science of a soul, right? The article writer begins that, okay, I have gone to so-and-so village, and in that village I met this person. And interestingly, he asked me so-and-so question about some tree or something like that. Then suddenly this kind of science of soul just crept in, right? So in that kind of package, if it is given, right, in the form of conversation, in the form of questions and answers, that will become more enlivening and relishable, and the attention spans of the audience will stay, right, if it is presented in the form of conversations. Bhagavatam is full of conversations. It is conversation between Suta Goswami and Savanakadri Rishis, first canto to 12th canto. Then at the end of first canto, the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj is introduced. That is going till the middle of 12th canto. And Sukadeva Goswami quotes other conversations like Maitreya Muni and Vidura, then Yudhishthira Maharaj, Narada Muni. So like that, so many conversations are quoted. So it's like loops of conversations. Right? So by regularly studying, one will be able to track which loop of conversation I'm in. Right? So, but if we divide our study now and then after 1 month, again, because of so many other activities, one may not be able to understand the context of certain section that he may be studying. That's why it is said, Nityam Bhagavata Seva, try to study. Now, these conversations are there happening between different devotees, and it seems very lofty, it might seem. So how is it relevant for, whom is it relevant to? Right? People are looking for relevance. Is it relevant for me? Is it relevant for this audience? Is it relevant for that audience? right? So and so section of society is there. Is it relevant for them? So that relevance of Bhagavatam is right. One has to understand it. How Bhagavatam is relevant to everyone, everywhere, at all times. Because the seed instruction which Vyasadeva received from Narada Muni contains that Vyasadeva is supposed to make this scripture relevant for everyone. Right? In one sense, it is relevant for, not relevant, it is understandable by Nirmatsaranam, but its relevance is there for everyone. Right? This is the instruction given by Narada Muni to Vyasadeva at the end of the 5th chapter. Tvamapyadabhra shruta vishrutam vibhoho samapyate yena vidam babhutsitam prakhyahi dukkhair muhurardhimanam sanklesha nirvana mushanti nanyatha. Right? So, Bhagavatam is relevant for everyone because Narada Muni instructed Vyasadeva to make it relevant for everyone. Tvamapi adabhrashruta, adabhrashruta vishrutam. O Vyasadev, you are adabhrashruta. Means you are very learned person. Right? Now, vibhoho samapyate yena vidam bhagutsitam. You write this Bhagavatam, you glorify Krishna and then explain his pastimes in such a way that samapyate yena vidam. Very learned people are there, very knowledgeable people, intellectual people are there, devotees are there. Their hankerings can be satisfied. Samapyate yena vidam babhutsita. Babhutsita means eagerness to learn. So, exalted people, learned people, they are eager to learn. Right? For example, somebody has some understanding of certain pastime of Krishna. For example, Damodar Leela. He reads Bhagavatam. He reads Krishna book. He reads Jiva Goswami's commentary. Then he reads Sanatana Goswami's commentary. Then he reads the Digdarshini Tika of Damodar Ashtakam. Right? And he reads so many other books. Garga Samhita, then he may read Harivamsa, he may read what is that book? Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Gopal Champu. Just one pastime is described in different ways with many more minute details in different books. So a learned person is eager to know all those details and release that pastime more. Right? So Sukadeva Goswami, Narada Muni tells Vyasadev, you write Bhagavatam in such a way that it satisfies the hankerings of our learned people. Second, prakhyahi dukkhair muhurardhimanam sanklesha nirvana musanti nanyatha. And there are so many people who are suffering in this world. Right? So one has to mitigate their sufferings. So you write this Bhagavatam in such a way that mitigates the sufferings of people also. Whether the reader is a suffering person in this material world, or whether the leader is a very rasic person, right, who is learning, who is trying to learn more and more insights from scriptures and then trying to polish his understanding, Bhagavatam is relevant. Bhagavatam is relevant to both categories of people. Right? Wherever you may be in the spectrum, Bhagavatam has some relevance in one's life. Like that. Because that is how Vyasadeva wrote it. That is how his guru told him to write it. Right? So now you see, this person is carrying so much load. Right? So I keep sometimes I keep some cartoons or some funny pictures so that in our classes there we have three hours classes. After couple of hours there some people might do, the devotees there, so to wake them up also I do that. So he's carrying so much load, right? For what? By selling this he may get 20 rupees, 30 rupees, whatever, 100 rupees at the end of the day, right? So to get a meager amount of happiness, the conditioned soul is undergoing tremendous amount of misery. To mitigate that misery, this Bhagavatam was spoken. Now I am speaking about its relevance to common man. Muhuraho rasikabhu vibhavuka, that also we discussed. Right? So samapyate yena vidam bhabupsitaha, that also we discussed. Now, soham runam kshulla sukhaya dukkham. Soham runam kshulla sukhaya dukkham. Mahadgatanam viramayatasya. Pravartaye bhagavatam puranam. Yadaha sakshad bhagavan rishibhyam. soham ranam kshulla sukhaya. Dukkham mahad. For kshulla sukha, for meager amount of happiness, they are undergoing dukkham mahad, great amount of distress. Viramaya tasya, to give a break to them, right? To advertise to them. You need not undergo so much misery to get this meager amount of happiness. There is unlimited happiness. You can purchase unlimited happiness, eternal bliss of spiritual world by doing these simple activities of hearing and chanting in bhakti. Right? Viramaya tasya. For that purpose, to mitigate their sufferings, pravartaye bhagavatam puranam. Right? I am speaking this bhagavatam. Maitreya Muni tells Vidura. Yadaha sakshat bhagavan rishubhyaha. Personally, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he spoke to rishis. Right? Ananta spoke to Sanakadi rishis. Right? So that is for the mitigation of miseries. Right? In this material world, everybody is suffering from miseries. Now this fellow is there. He is going to certain destination. Now he is being pulled by two people. Right? Will he ever reach the destination? Right? Even though he reaches destination, he may reach in two parts. Jarasandha. Right? He may reach like that. Why? Because in this material world, we may want to attain certain goal, spiritual goal, but our senses are pulling us in different directions. Right? Nose is pulling us to smell some beautiful fragrance. Eyes are pulling us to see some beautiful form. Ears are pulling us to hear some pop music or whatever. So like the different senses are pulling the soul in different directions. Right? So he is constantly immersed in this material ocean because he is trapped in this, trapped by these sensual attractions. Right? So because he is immersed in this material ocean, some boat has to come and take him across the ocean safely. Right? Bhagavatam is that.
Etadhyatura chittanam matra sparshechaya muhu bhavasindhuplavo drashto haricharyanu varnanam. Etadhi atura chittanam.
These people in this material world are constantly in anxiety. Atura chittanam. For what? Matra sparsha ichchaya muhu. Muhu means constantly. They are endeavoring to bring their senses in contact with sense objects. Right? Because of that endeavor, constant endeavor to have sensual attraction. He's trying to bring senses closer. He is not understanding that senses are pulling him. Right? Away from Krishna. He's trying to bring senses closer to sense objects. He's not understanding that senses are pulling him away from Krishna. That's why he's in suffering. Atura chittana. Bhavasindhu plavo drashto. Because of that, he is immersed in this material ocean. Bhavasindhu plavo. A boat that can take him across this material ocean is Haricharya Anuvarnanam. Solution is simple. Haricharya Anuvarnanam. One has to glorify the activities of Hari, which are described in Bhagavatam. That is the boat that can take the living entity across this material ocean. Right? So 7th canto says, Andha Yathantar Upaniyamana. Right? A blind fellow is there. He tries to help another blind man. So he catches, there's beauty painting only. So he catches another blind man's shoulder. So like that a chain of blind men will, so the person who is leading that chain of blind men is also a blind person. All of them will fall into ditch. Right? Because people are getting guided by unintelligent people, misguided people. They themselves are misguided and they are trying to give guidance to another person. So one cannot reach one's goal. Right? That is the quality of Kali Yuga. But there is one path, a straight path. Right? Different people may take people from different paths and they will end up in different destinations, which may not be the ultimate thing. But there is one path, straight path, right? Shortest path, easiest path. That is Bhakti Yoga. That Bhakti Yoga is described in Bhagavatam. Right? So one has to understand that Bhagavatam from bona fide sources. Right? So in the 11th canto, this beautiful verse comes. Yanasthaya naro rajan na pramadyeta karhichit dhavan nimilyavani itre. Dhavan Nimilyavanetre Naskale Napatetiha. Right? This path of Bhakti Yoga is there. Right? If you walk on this path, Dhavan, if you run on this path, Nimilya Netre, means even if your eyes are blindfolded, and if you run on this path, still one will reach the destination. That is the process of Bhakti Yoga. One may blindly also follow. That doesn't mean one has to blindly follow. One can understand the spirit behind it and all that. But even if one blindly follows also, he will reach the ultimate destination of Krishna's lotus feet. Right? That is the royal path. That is explained in Bhagavatam. Right? One need not take shelter of some blind people and attain some substandard destinations. Right? So, in this material world, everybody is filled with lamentation. Right? Fears. So many fears. So, yashyam vai shruyamanayam krishne paramapurushe bhakti ritpadyate pumsaha soka moha bhayapaha. This Bhagavatam, right, one hears this, yashyam vai shruyamanayam, what will happen? Krishne paramapurushe bhakti ritpadyate pumsaha. Bhakti, a feeling of devotional service will come from one's heart. I have to perform devotional service to Krishna. That inspiration is developed in the heart of a person. And simultaneously, shoka, lamentation, moha, illusion, bhaya of fears of this material existence, they will slowly vanquish. As bhakti is increasing, shoka, moha, bhaya are decreasing. Right? That happens by regularly taking shelter of Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? So one has, Prabhupada is there, so he was taking shelter of Bhagavatam right at the deathbed also. Right? So at the time of death, there are so many distractions in the person who is about to leave the body. So many memories will come and flash. Right? One may not be in good intelligence, right, at the time of death. All senses are deranged. So if one regularly takes shelter of Bhagavatam, if one dedicates one life for the glorification of Krishna, right? Bhagavatam and services which are rendered in the spirit of Bhagavatam, then there will be no confusions at death also. Na uttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamritam syat sambhramanta kalepi smaratam tat padam bhujam. So na uttama shloka vartanam jushatam tat kathamritam. Right, if one is taking shelter of Krishna Katha and is dedicating his life for glorification of Krishna only throughout life, syat sambhramo antakalepi, even at the time of death also, no misconceptions, right? No confusions. Prabhupada on the deathbed is giving purports to Bhagavatam verses, which people will read for the next thousands of years. Right? That clarity of thought, that clear intelligence, clear vision is there. Even on the deathbed also. Right? So that is because one, he has dedicated his life for glorification of Bhagavatam. Like that. So smaradam tat padam bhujam. One will be able to remember Krishna's lotus feet at the time of death also. Like that. And Bhagavatam gives us the ideal, what are the ideal aspirations? In this human life one may have different aspirations. Right? I want to be like this, I want to be like that. I want this car, I want this bungalow, I want this, I want that. So many aspirations one may have. But what is the ultimate devotional aspiration? What should be the aspiration of a devotee? That is described in Bhagavatam through the prayers of so many exalted devotees. Prachetas pray. Then Kunti Maharani prays. Bhishma prays. Then Dhruva Maharaj prays. Prithu Maharaj prays. In all these prayers, there is one common theme. My dear Lord, I don't want the results of karma process. I don't want to attain heavenly planets or other things. I don't want the result of jnana process. I don't want to merge into your existence. I just want to serve you. And I want the opportunity to hear Krishna Katha in the association of devotees. Bhaktim mohu pravahatam tvaime prasango bhuyadananta mahatam amalasayanam yenanja solpanam uruvyasanim bhavabdhim neshye bhavad guna kathamrita pana mattaha. I am intoxicated by hearing the glories of Krishna. And if I get the association of devotees, and if I constantly discuss Bhagavatam, then definitely I will easily cross over this material ocean. I don't pray for the benediction of getting liberation or crossing the cycle of birth and death. I just pray for the association of devotees who can describe Krishna's glories to me. So all these ideal aspirations we can see. We don't know what to aspire for, but Bhagavatam reveals us what to aspire for. Like that. Then it is said that now monsoon is going on and there is so much of rain and all the water bodies will become muddy. Right? But in the autumn, the rains that come in the autumn season, it is said that they are purifying. Right? So Bhagavatam sound vibration is like autumnal rains that can purify one's heart. Pravishta karnarandhrena svana bhava saroruham dhunvati samalam krishna salilasya yatha sarat. Right? And there is a lot of beauty in this world. There is animation in this world. Right? There is beautiful sky, beautiful landscape, so many birds, sweet singing birds and butterflies, this and that. When we see a beautiful scenery, that gives a lot of pleasure to the heart. But what animates this world, what beautifies this world and what purifies this world is not this. It is Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? Akrura says, Yasya khilamiva habissumangalaihi vacho vimishra gunakarma janmabhi prananti shumbhanti punanti vaijagat yastad virakta shavasobhanamati. Right? Yasya akhila amiva habissumangalaihi vacho means the words that are mixed with vimishra guna karma janmabhi, the appearances and activities and qualities of Krishna. So when words are mixed with that, they can animate the world. Prananti, the prana of this world is Krishna katha. Shumbhanti, they can beautify this world. The beauty of this world is Krishna katha. Punanti, the world is purified by Krishna katha. Ridvai jagat yastad virakta shavasobhanamataha. If that is not there, although it may be appearing so nice and beautiful, that is shavasobhana. That is like shringar, offering ornaments and garlands and other decorations to a dead body. Like that. So Krishna katha is an eternal investment. Right? Prabhupada says in one purport, in the first kind of purports only, that you take in so many things, right? So many opportunities to render services, right? Every opportunity that we get to do some service, is going into our eternal bank account. Right? Although one may not be able to continue that service and then he may get distracted from that service, right? Maybe after many years he may come back, or after some lifetimes he may come back. Still, this service, honest service that he has rendered, that is there with him to protect him. Gajendra is there. Right? He did some devotional service in the beginning. That came to his accord in the next life. Ajamil is there. He did some, you know, bhakti in the beginning. That came to his accord at the time of his death. Like that. So it's an eternal investment. So it is said that this ear, right, with which we hear Bhagavatam, that acts, that langani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti is there, right? So this ear can act as nose. Jigranti karana vivarai shruti vatanitam. One can smell the fragrance of the lotus feet of the Lord. Then this ear can act as eyes, shastra chakshu. Then ear can act as skin also, one can touch, right? Through the descriptions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one can touch also. There are descriptions in first canto, 10th canto, that Krishna's limbs are like soft flowers, soft leaves, right? Mango leaf, when it is reddish, in March or February that this is coming. Not March or February, somewhere in the winter only it comes, right? The leaf is so tender and soft, like that. All those descriptions are there to give us a feel of what Krishna is. Then it can act like a tongue also. Pivantiye bhagavata atmanasvatam kathamrutam shravanaputeshu samrutam. So spiritual hearing has that potency. Right? Punantite vishaya vidushidasayam rajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. So one can transform his contaminated aspirations of life. Punantite vishaya vidushita ashayam. Then vrajanti tacharana saroruhantikam. So one can qualify oneself for his ultimate destination also. Right? So there are so many other verses that are glorifying Bhagavatam. So I want to skip them because just 15 minutes are there. So one thing I will say, Kirtaya Tirtha Kirti. Kirtaya Tirtha Kirti means our... Just some time back also we were discussing this verse. Tadasya Kaushara Sarmadatu. Vidura is requesting Maitreya Muni, you discuss the glories of Bhagavatam. Right? Kirtaya. You glorify Tirtha Kirti. Lord's Kirti, Lord's glories are Tirtha, holy place. Right? So what is holy place? So a holy place has the potency to purify a sinful personality. Right? So somebody goes to holy place and takes bath in a holy place and then he is purified. Right? But more purifying than that is the glories of the Lord. Ki Tirtha Kirte, his glories are considered to be Tirtha, holy place. When one bathes himself in the glories of Supreme Lord by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, his contaminated aspirations are purified. Right? His contaminated sinful life will be vanquished by gradual hearing. Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu. Right? So that's why Krishna Katha is compared to be a holy place where one's sinful contaminations can be removed. Like that. And so many shlokas we are reciting now. So shloka is considered to be like a zip file. Another beauty of Bhagavatam is eloquence. It's poetry. Right? Bhagavatam is Vyasadeva at his best. Right? He composed such choicest words and it's a beautiful poetry, rhyming lines of every verse. Right? And within one verse of Bhagavatam, lot of content, life transformating information is there within one verse of Bhagavatam. Just by memorizing one verse and understanding and meditating on it and recollecting it, that can come to our accord at any time. Right? So Bhagavatam is here also included. Vedah Purana Kavyam Cha Prabhur Mitram Priyevacha. Right? Bodhayanti hi prahu trivrit bhagavata punaha. So Vedas, Puranas, Kavyas are there. Vedas instruct people like a master. Then Puranas instruct people like a friend. Then Kavyas, poetic works, they instruct people like a lover. Bhagavatam does all the three. Right? Bhagavatam verses have the potency to do all the three. Like that. That's why Sanatana Goswami says, Madeka bandho matsangin madguro man mahadhana man nishtaraka madbhagya madanandana mostuti. Bhagavatam should be the companion, right? Constant companion of a sadhaka. Right? So if he has the knowledge of Bhagavatam with him, then he can lead his devotional life nicely. That's yesterday someone, Yugal Shyam Prabhu, I was discussing with him on the car, in the car, that whenever we get some gaps in our various, in a day one does so many activities, right? So we get some breaks in the middle, right? Maybe I have some 10-15 minutes here, half an hour break is there. So if one tries to fill in that gaps with Bhagavatam sound vibration, right? So gradually they will not remain in that gaps. This is my work time, this is my gap time. If I fill this gap with Bhagavatam, this will not stop there. It will influence this work time also. Right? It will influence the work time also. And one's activities, right? One's dealings, everything will be guided with this sound vibration. Right? One must be haunted by this sound vibration. Like that. That doesn't mean one has to compromise on in his activities. One has to render his services very nicely, but with the understanding given by Bhagavatam. So Bhagavatam, by regular reading of Bhagavatam, it is supposed to permeate in our consciousness, permeate our consciousness, penetrate into our thoughts and perceivable in our actions. Right? Action should reflect our understanding of Bhagavatam. One has to do it in that spirit. So, yeah, I would like to kind of fast forward in this. I thought of discussing Prabhupada's efforts in presenting this Bhagavatam. So it is said that Prabhupada is original and not original also. He is original in the sense that he has his own unique style of presenting the scripture for the understanding of Bhagavatam. He is not original in the sense that he is just presenting the teachings of previous acharyas, right? As it is, in a way understandable by the people. So every acharya has his own personality. Right? He is not original in the sense that he is representing the previous parampara. Kasma yena vibhasito yamatalam jnana pradipapura, like that. And at the same time, he is also presenting in his own unique style for the understanding of the audience. If the different acharyas are presenting, all of them are like same, then if they are so faceless, there is no need of writing a biography for each of them, right? Everybody contributes in a certain way for understanding of the modern audience, right? So, yeah, Prabhupada got this instruction to preach books and print books from Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur. So he took that guru's desire and instruction as his life and soul. And before 1965, he had 3 books only. After 1965, he became author of 60 books. He had one initiated disciple before 1965. After that, more than 4,000 disciples. Right? So now, no one believed that he will become... He had vision for a society. He is calling international society also. But no one believed that that will become true. But later, after 1965, he formed and maintained ISKCON and then saw it to become like an expanded entity of more than 100 centers. Right? So he had never been outside India before 1965. After that, he traveled all over the globe 14 times, like that. For that, he did a lifetime of preparation centered around Bhagavatam, like that. So he is an empowered representative of Krishna. Prabhupada gave the definition of bhakti as devotional service. Generally, bhakti means somebody may translate it as devotion. He says devotional service. If you have devotion, you will do some service also. That is Prabhupada's contribution. He is Bhakti Vedanta. Right? That's why his god brothers, Bhakti Sarang Goswami, Bhakti Sridhar Maharaj, they gave him the title Bhakti Vedanta. Bhakti means he has devotion. Vedanta means he knows the end of knowledge. Right? He is a scholar also. He has devotion also. Like that. So when he began his efforts to present this back to Godhead, right? Eventually someone told also, you can, instead of writing magazines, you can write books. Then he focused on Bhagavatam. So meanwhile he also established this League of Devotees, right, at Jhasi. Next, eventually he shifted to Radha Damodar temple, so where he was working on the purports of the first canto. So eventually first canto was published in 1959, volume 1, like that. Volume 1 was published in 1962, like that. So eventually his movement grew up, and then so many centers and so many responsibilities, lot of management, worldwide traveling. But still, even at that old age also, Prabhupada made it a point that Bhagavatam translation must go on, right? So he wanted, it was his great pleasure to present this scriptural knowledge in English, right? To fulfill the desire of his spiritual master. When everyone was sleeping, Prabhupada would translate Bhagavatam. Even on the deathbed, he would translate Bhagavatam, right? So this is an important point. So Prabhupada presented this Bhagavatam. There is a transliteration of the verse, right? The Devanagari verse is presented in English with diacritic marks, right? So that that gives us the right way of pronouncing that for the English people who may not be able to understand the Devanagari script, for them to rightly pronounce, the transliteration has to be done. Then there is Sandhi Vicheda or Padacheda. The verse is there, you need to break that into small pieces, right? Small individual words. Right? That is called Padavicheda. Then you need to generate a Sanskrit commentator. So he needs to generate words of meanings of individual words. That synonyms we see, word for word meanings. Then he has to generate a prose sentence for the poetry verse. Right? That is called Vakya Yojana. Generating a prose sentence for the poetry verse, Bhagavatam verse. Then there is Vigraha. Vigraha means you give meanings to compound words, right? There are compound words. When they are combined together, that has a different meaning, right? Actually, literally the word means something, but in that context, that has a different meaning, right? When that is placed with another word, that has a different meaning. So like that, you generate right meanings for the compound words and elaborate on them. And there is tarka also. Different other commentators have given so much misinterpretation of that verse, one has to remove that. A bona fide commentator like Prabhupada, he has to remove the Mayavadic understandings or other atheistic understandings of the scriptures with Vaishnava understanding. So that is called Tarka. So this Padacheda, then Padartokti, Vakya Yojana, Vigraha, Tarka, these are the five elements in explaining a Sanskrit verse. Prabhupada implemented all this and came up with this voluminous literature of Srimad Bhagavatam in English version. Right? So this part I think we'll skip. We have hardly 2-3 minutes. So yeah, Prabhupada's unique special contribution is the process for practice, Abhideya. So many acharyas have given a Sambandha Jnana. Right? Prabhupada also gave Sambandha Jnana. But Prabhupada gave a nice format for practice of devotional service. So finally, why study? Okay. I will just conclude by the last verse. Make it interesting. One verse in Bhagavatam says that Arthendriya Rama Sagoshta Trushnaya Tatsammatana Maparigrahenacha Vivikta Paritosha Atmani Vina Harir Guna Piyushapanat. So Bhagavatam one verse says that one has to mold one's life in such a way that he cannot live without hearing Krishna Katha. Without hearing Krishna Katha, he becomes restless. Are, today I didn't hear Bhagavatam. Today I didn't study Bhagavatam. One has to hanker for that opportunity to study Bhagavatam and hear Bhagavatam. So one has to mold life in such a way. Then Bhagavatam is very relishable. Tadeva ramyam ruchiram navam navam, tadeva shashvan manaso mahotsavam, tadeva shokarnava soshanam runam, ye yaduttama shloka yeshonu giyate. So it is very relishable, newer and appears newer and newer every time. And it's a great celebration for one's heart and mind, and it can completely vanquish the sufferings of all the humanity. Like that is the glory of Bhagavatam. Granthara Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.